I invite you to hear this word, morning the word of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, reading from the New Living Translation, chapter 45, verses 9 through 13. Destruction is certain for those who argue with their Creator. Does a clay pot argue with its maker? Does the clay dispute with the one who shapes it, saying, "Stop! You are doing it wrong"? Does the pot exclaim, "How clumsy can you be? How terrible it would be if a newborn baby said to its father and mother, 'Why was I born? Why did you make me this way?'" This is what the Lord, the Creator and Holy One of Israel, says: "Do you question what I do? Do you give me orders about the works of my hands? I am the one who made the earth and created people to live on it. With my hands I stretched out the heavens, and all the millions of stars are at my command. I will raise up Cyrus to fulfill my righteous purpose, and I will guide all his actions. He will restore my city and free my captive people, and not for reward. I, the Lord Almighty, have spoken." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Hearing these words, it's important for us to understand a little what's happening in the background here. You see, Cyrus has been anointed by the Lord and told that big things would be happening, and that he would be a part of those big things, seemingly impossible things. These things that the Lord will do using Cyrus are pretty impressive. But Cyrus has some doubts, if you will. And think about it, if we're in that same situation, Cyrus has these doubts like, "Who, me? I mean, why would the Lord choose me? Why would the Lord use me to do these big, these mighty things, these seemingly impossible things? After all, I am just me. I'm plain. I'm different. So why would the Lord use me?" But then Cyrus has these reservations, especially because, you see, Cyrus is a little different. He is a little different. Up to this point, he is the only Gentile said to be anointed. So he's kind of different than everybody else. But despite that, and probably because of that, the Lord wants to use him. He has a plan. He wants Cyrus to be part of the rebuilding of Jerusalem and the freeing of the exiles. But the point here is that Cyrus is different. Cyrus is different, and the Lord wants to use him, really because of the differences that he has. The psalmist in Psalm 119, Psalm 139 says this. It says, "I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are the works of your hands." We've heard that before. We hold on to that because what that says to us is that God doesn't make a mistake. We are made at the hands of the Lord. Despite maybe some of the differences or challenges that we have, we are still wonderfully made. And we praise God for the works of his hands. Wonderful are the works of your hands. But the problem with that is that sometimes we find challenges living that particular piece of Scripture, because humanity, part of our mortal instinct is we're drawn to imperfections. We're drawn to flaws. We're drawn to difference, rather than the perfect nature of God's creation. Rather than focusing on the sanctifying grace that God has in store for all of us, for those who choose to accept his grace and to move forward and be made perfect in love, we tend to focus on those places to where we fall short. The handicapped person might say, "You know what, why did God make me this way? And how could God possibly use this broken body?" Or perhaps another would look at that handicapped or disabled person and say, "What a waste." Or, "Well, that's somebody that's different. Or they have some kind of special needs, so they're different. Perhaps the sick person may struggle to understand the reason behind their sickness and not really see the fact that God's at work in their life. And because of their sickness, they may question their productivity in life. Or the addict may say, my life is in a ruin. Why would God want me? Why would God use me? And how could God ever accept me the way that I am? The elderly person may say that I'm too old to be of use anymore. The young people have got to carry on the stuff in the church. The young people have to do this or do that because the best place for me is to be put out to pasture. And then the young may say, look, I don't have any experience. Why do you want to use me? The elderly people in the church need to do this because they've got more knowledge and wisdom and they understand. But the point is that we can take a question and basically do a fill-in-the-blank question and say, Lord, my life is in a shambles because of, or Lord, I'm not qualified because of. And we can even question, why were we born? Why did this happen? What plans do you have for us? Maybe we should just give up. But I want to come back to probably what I think to be the most powerful part of that scripture. The most powerful part of that scripture is talking about the potter. Would a piece of clay question the potter? And if so, then that is no different than a child saying to a parent, look at me, why was I even born? Why did you have me? It's no different than looking to the Creator and saying, Lord, why am I this way? What use am I? You see, to me that clay holds a very powerful imagery of how we are shaped in our lives and who we are. This is a coffee cup. Y'all know I like coffee, so I've got plenty of coffee cups. And I get coffee cups about wherever I go, especially if they're different. I picked this one up at Lake Junaluska, and it's different. It's a handmade coffee cup, got the Lake Junaluska emblem on it, made out of a piece of clay. And as I pick this up, I might marvel at, I do marvel at the perfection, about how this is different, how it's got unique properties. And there's a couple places on it where these little grooves are not straight. And there's a couple places to where there's little burrs on it. And some people might pick it up and say, you know what, I'm not going to buy that. That's not a perfect coffee cup. But to me, those blemishes, those slight imperfections, that's what gives it character. And that's what makes it valuable to me. When I pick it up and I hold it in my hands, I think a little bit about how we're held in the hands of our Lord. Because, see, this started out as just a plain piece of clay. It was just a chunk of clay. A potter was looking at it with all kinds of possibilities. It could have been anything in the world, any shape, any definition, any identity. But dirt, compacted dirt is what it started out with. But then it becomes something very beautiful in the hands of the skillful potter. Because to make this, pressure had to be applied in certain places. For these grooves to be deeper, they had to apply a little bit more pressure as that clay was spinning around. And to make the ridges, they had to lighten up on their pressure. To make the smooth mouth of the cup, they had to roll the clay inward. To make the handle, additional clay had to be added and formed. And to make the bottom, it had to be flattened out. All of that was because of a little bit of pressure here and there. In the end, we had this beautiful work that was created because of a skillful potter. The process of becoming something beautiful took planning. It took carefully planned steps. Choosing the right clay, having the right skill, the right talent, the right passion about caring for this work, being placed perfectly on the potter's wheel, having the right amount of water, and then the potter staying in touch with the hands of the pot as it's being created. Now again, some of that clay was added, some was taken away. And if that clay starts to lose its consistency, then the potter had to make adjustments. But the thing about it is the potter's hands stayed on this piece the whole time. And each has its unique identity because of the touch of that potter's hands. And no two coffee cups, there's no other coffee cup in the world like this. It's different. Now the skilled eye sees that beauty. The mortal part of us finds those imperfections. How different is that than the way that we are? You think about how we have been shaped in our lives. Think about those things that make those grooves in our life. Those things that make those ridges, those high spots in our life. Perfect amount of pressure applied at certain times. Look at who we are now, who we have become. I say there's no two coffee cups like that. Are any of us in here alike? Are any of us in here identical to each other? And I dare say we're not, and I'm thankful of that, because we all have our own unique identity, an identity created by God, an image created by God to be that different person so that we don't all fit the same type of mold. We're all just a little bit different. And in saying that, we know that we are like that clump of clay. Think about when we were born. We were born with the prevenient grace of God upon us. We were born with that grace on us because God loves us, God created us, and so we were born with His grace. And then at some point in our time in our lives, we realize, you know what, I can't do it without God. I acknowledge receiving His grace, and I acknowledge that I have to do more, and that's that justifying grace that we receive, that we talk about as a Methodist people. And in that process of sanctification, or being made perfect in love, that's our spiritual journey to where we become more spiritually mature. We love more freely. We forgive more quickly. And we share that love that has been shared with us through God's abundant grace and His mercy. So we're like that shape of clay. Are you the same Christian today as you were 20 years ago? Are you the same person today as you were 30 years ago? We change because of what we've experienced in this life. And even those negative experiences in our life, those blemishes that I talk about on that coffee cup, that gives us character. And the fact that we rose above those things and become who we are, despite that blemish, in spite of that blemish, and possibly because of that blemish, we have become something very beautiful. And we become that beautiful thing because God has plans for us. Now please, brothers and sisters, don't think that I'm saying God causes bad things to happen, because He does not. But in spite of those bad things, we have become something beautiful. Because through it all, the Lord has never taken His hands off of you. The Lord has never taken His hands off of you. He's been there to shape you, to cup you, to hold you, to support you, to add the water, to add the clay, to make modifications so that you are the beautiful person that you are today. I look at that pottery and I see the marvelous markings. And when I compare that to my life, each one of these markings might be symbolic of a life experience. It might be symbolic of some challenge I've faced, some obstacle I've overcome, some disease that I have experienced, but each of these contribute to the beauty of the end product. Each of these contributes to that beauty. We should not argue with the maker. We shouldn't argue with the potter, because the potter shapes us with a tender, loving care. And our Lord knows what we are to be, who we are to become, what we're to look like. and how and what difference we are to make. And the potter, or the clay, never looks at the potter and says, quit doing that, you're doing it all wrong. But at times we do. We do that when we question the Lord and we question His intent in our lives. We question the places that He puts us in. We look to the Lord and we complain about our flaws, our imperfections, our blemishes, our illnesses. But again, that helps us. We know that all things work together for the good of God, and that God has a plan, a master plan for each one of us. And those life experiences that we have make us beautiful in our own right and beautiful at the hands of the Lord. The potter has his hands on us and offers that gentle support and gently molds us. Some time ago, and I may have shared this with some of you in the past, some time ago, Angel and I and Myra went to St. Augustine. And Angel has this knack of making friends with people wherever she goes. I don't know how she does it. But the neighbor who lived there, and we were vacationing in a house, was an author. And her and Angel and this little girl got to be friends. And this woman was an author of children's books. And she was in the process of writing this book, and maybe I'll read it to you sometime. It's fairly short. But it's called The Skin That I Am In. And what this book is about, it's about how, you know how cruel kids can be, about how kids sometimes pick on each other. Oh, look at that person. That kid's in a wheelchair. That kid's got different skin color. That kid's disabled or handicapped. That kid don't act right. And how hurtful kids can be to each other. And what this book does is it goes through and it talks about the skin that you're in is what we're to be proud of. The skin that you're in is what God created. And in His eyes, and should be the eyes of all people, you are a beautiful and a special person. And that we should have that agape love, that unconditional love for all people. It don't matter what people look like. What matters is how beautiful they are to God and how beautiful they are in their hearts. Kind of like that piece of clay that we talked about this morning. About how God shaped us and made us and created us. And that's the perfection that we celebrate. Then that there's really not a disability. They're rather abilities. And an opportunity to be beautiful in a different way. Because again, we're not all the same. Nor should we be. But God sees us all as beautiful works of His creation. Back to Psalm 139. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Beautiful are the works of His hands. Now how powerful would it be if we could walk around and say, you know what? I'm comfortable with who I am. I'm comfortable with the way that I look. I'm comfortable with the illnesses that I have dealt with. I'm comfortable with the disabilities that I might have because I know that I am fearfully and wonderfully made by the hands of my mighty God who has a plan for me. Now that plan might not be my plan, but He has a plan for me. And I'm good with that. How powerful, what kind of testimony is that to make? Prophet Isaiah tells us in 64:8, and this is the scripture that I think of a lot. Oh Lord, You are our Father, we are the clay, and You are our potter. We are the work of Your hands. Think about it, brothers and sisters. We are the work of the One who created all of this. We're the result of His hands. Each of us has been shaped in a certain way, and each of us is wonderfully made in a different way, in accordance with His hands. And we all are beautiful in the eyes of our Father, and we're all beautiful in the skin that we are in. And for this, we praise God, we give Him the honor and the glory. and we say amen.